Welcome back. This is Scott Butt from sitting in for Phil Williams as Phil and his wife get a little vacation time in. We are here at News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Joining us now is probably one of the more popular guys in the state, Representative Andrew Sorrell. He is the sponsor and the guy who saw the constitutional carry bill through the Alabama legislature. And look, this was a fight. They wanted to compromise the bill, wanted to take some things out of it. A lot of people said, hey, just take it and go, man. And he wouldn't do it. He fought for the bill in its original form, and he got it. Representative Sorrell, thank you for joining us.
Well, Scott, appreciate your kind words. Thank you for having me on. I've got to say, we'll find out how popular I am in the state here in a couple months because I'm also running for state auditor. So I hope what you say is true, and I hope I get a lot of votes for that. But yes, yesterday, a huge victory, not for me, not for the people in the legislature, a huge victory for the people in Alabama, because yesterday 5 million people got one of their constitutional rights restored. And it's been a four-year project. Me, Representative Shane Stringer from down in Mobile, and State Senator Gerald Allen, who's been carrying this bill for 11 years, we three worked together very, very closely on this legislation. I introduced it my first year, 2019, only had 7 people willing to co-sponsor my bill. I was basically laughed out of caucus for carrying a bill with such low odds of passing. But, you know, as the years went by, I began to get to 20 co-sponsors, 30 co-sponsors. This year, I had 38 co-sponsors, including the Speaker of the House. And suddenly, nobody was chuckling anymore. They knew it was for real this time. We managed to pass the bill on 2-22-2022. The Alabama House passed the bill to make Alabama the 22nd constitutional carry state. Alabama is also the 22nd state to join the union. So I don't know if it was coincidence or meant to be. We sent it up to the Senate. The Senate made it better in committee. And then, honestly, completely gutted the bill on the floor with a substitute. I was wholeheartedly opposed to the substitute. It watered down the bill. It put things in there that I think were unacceptable to many of the gun rights activists in the state. And 2 of the 3 gun rights groups in the state came out against it. The House, I believe, wisely rejected the Senate changes, non-concurred, and sent it back upstairs on Wednesday. By Thursday, the conference committee had met, and both chambers accepted a much better version of the bill. Still not perfect, but much, much better. And then literally within an hour of it passing the 2 chambers, the governor signed it into law yesterday. So a huge victory for the people of Alabama.
Yeah, it was probably the big story coming out of Montgomery yesterday. Andrew, you were not on Twitter, which immediately means you're probably smarter than the rest of us. But if you were, I don't think you would have come on the show. I have picked on that bill. And I picked on it excessively, and I want to share that with you. I just want to tell you first the first thing I want to tell you is I support the bill. I supported it from the beginning. I had no problem with it. I was perfectly okay with it passing. I was looking at it from a monetary standpoint. Okay, I'm a gun owner. I'm a multiple gun owner. Probably more than I need, but I do have a concealed carry permit. I live in Jefferson County. My permit cost me $7.50 a month. I'm sorry, a year. So that works out to 62.5 cents a month. All right. So now I don't have to buy my constitutional carry permit. That wasn't that big a deal. $7.50, you know, what's that? You can't even go through the Burger King drive-thru for $7.50. But I spend a lot of time, and by that I mean almost every weekend, in the far northeast corner of Alabama, 7 miles from the Georgia line, about 20 minutes from Tennessee. So I'm crossing state lines all the time, right? And to have my reciprocal privilege, I've still got to have my permit. So I've still got to spend my $7.50. Now, I will tell you, we just had Jeff Poore on right before you, and Jeff, he's a good friend, so he was very nice about it, but basically said, you're completely missing the point, man. This is a principal issue, not a monetary issue. What say you?
There's 2 issues. I don't say that the monetary issue is a non-issue, because I think there's poor people in this state who in other counties have to pay $20 or $30 a year for their permit rather than $7.50. Yeah. Jefferson's one of the lowest counties I know of. My county of Colbert's $10. But there are other counties that are $20, $25 a year. And if you're buying a five-year permit, you might have to shell out $125.
Right.
The lifetime permit costs you $300 in Alabama. So I do think that for some poor people, it might be more of a problem than it would be for, let's say, you or I going to buy a permit. So problem number one is you have to purchase your constitutional right. But problem number two is you have to get permission at all. And to me, I think that is the larger issue. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to request permission for something the Constitution expressly authorizes you to do in the Second Amendment, where it says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the "and bear arms" is so important because if you have the right to own a gun, but you didn't have a right to keep it with you so you could actually use it, it doesn't do you any good. And in a mobile society like we have today, if you didn't have the right to carry the pistol in your vehicle with you, like the way it's been in Alabama for decades now, you really didn't have your constitutional right. I mean, the most likely place you're going to get robbed is not for someone breaking in your window at 3 a.m. I mean, it happens.
Right.
But I think the gas station's a much more likely place for you to be robbed or assaulted. Or I think a park, if you're a woman out walking your dog in the park, that's an area where you would like to have a pistol with you, probably concealed while you're out jogging. So I would say that both of you are right. I think both of you have valid points, and there were two big problems with constitutional carry. And we solved both of them because you no longer have to have the permit. However, as you correctly noted, if you're going to cross state lines, you do still have to have the permit. There is nothing we can do about that
right
at the state level in Alabama. It is federal law that if you cross state lines with a pistol, you must have a permit. That's why, as a gun salesman, I own two locations of my company, one in Florence, one in Huntsville. We can sell a long gun to somebody who lives in Tennessee. We cannot sell a pistol to them unless we first ship it to another authorized dealer in Tennessee, and then they can pay us, but they go take possession of the weapon in Tennessee and get their NICS background check run in Tennessee.
You really are hitting some nails right on the head right now. I live in Trussville, and Trussville borders Birmingham, which means my wife and I go to dinner in Birmingham on a fairly regular basis. I'm not getting out of my car without my gun in my coat and or in my holster under my coat. And I want to be able to take it with me. And that is a valid point. I shouldn't have to ask anybody's permission to protect my wife and my daughter if I'm taking them to dinner somewhere.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's why constitutional carry is sometimes referred to as a repeal of the coat tax. So, you know, if you can carry a gun openly in Alabama, it's already legal. You can put one on your hip. You can strap an AR on, you know, and walk down the street with it. As long as you're not brandishing it, it's perfectly legal to open carry in Alabama.
Right.
What it was not legal to do is if it's winter and you put a coat on over top and you cover up your pistol, now you're illegal under Alabama law. You're a criminal under Alabama law.
Right.
When I got married, my wife was from South Carolina. When we had been home from our honeymoon just a couple weeks, she took my car to Walmart. And I realized there's a gun in the glove box. And if she had been caught with my gun in that glove box, she would have been a criminal because she did not yet have an Alabama pistol permit. Those are the kind of common sense things that we were trying to fix.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been as much of a fight as it was. Why did it take 4 years for Alabama to finally pass this bill? I've got to say, at the end of the day, it wouldn't have gotten done without people like Representative Shane Stringer, whose HB 272 was ultimately the bill that did pass and get signed into law. And I was proud to work with Shane Stringer. He literally bled for the cause. He got fired from a very, very high-paying job at the Mobile County Sheriff's Department, where he was
yes.
a captain, because he co-sponsored my constitutional carry bill last year and introduced his own version of it. His sheriff fired him.
So
I thought he was probably a better person than me to even carry the bill this final year. Turns out that I was right, obviously, because it's now become law. By the way, be careful. This bill does not take effect until January 1st, and we need to make sure people realize that, because
mm-hmm.
I don't want people getting in trouble the next 8 or 9 months for carrying a pistol concealed without a permit.
I'm glad you brought up the situation with Stringer. That was absolutely disgusting to see a county sheriff play politics with one of their officers. And look, you're a law and order guy. I'm a law and order guy. My youngest brother is a retired police sergeant from Tuscaloosa. We support our law enforcement, and we're going to continue. But I thought the sheriff's offices, and I get it, some of these offices were bringing in millions of dollars a year on these permits, but their argument against this bill was one of the weakest arguments I've ever seen. And it did make me wonder, how has this taken so long if this is the best you got?
Sheriff Association is very, very powerful in Alabama. And although they took a loss on this bill and the constitutionalists were able to get this passed despite their objections, they still remain a powerful entity in Alabama. You are correct. Millions of dollars is accurate. In fact, it's $19 million a year is what the 67 county sheriffs collectively collect from selling people their constitutional rights back. Now, we were accused in committee of defunding the police.
Yeah.
And that exact phrase was used by both Republicans and Democrats to describe our bill, which is so laughable because, number one, we put in there a $5 million grant program for sheriffs. So if a sheriff can prove that his revenue drops after constitutional carry passes from permit sales, he can apply for a grant to replace that revenue. And we funded that in the general fund budget. So that's going to be in there. You'll see that probably next week. Second, my position was, even if it did take away the money from sheriffs, even if it took away every cent of the money from sheriffs, we still ought to do it because you shouldn't be selling people constitutional rights. I mean, what if we funded our sheriff's offices by charging people a poll tax?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be right. You shouldn't have to pay for your right to vote. So just because the money is going to a good cause doesn't mean that it's okay to charge it. So if the county commissions are not adequately funding their sheriff's departments, that's something that needs to be addressed at the county level. But meanwhile, we can't deny people constitutional rights.
Andrew, I did not realize Gerald Allen had carried that bill all these years, and I did not realize he was a co-sponsor. I have known Gerald Allen so long, I don't remember not knowing him. What did he run into with this bill in previous versions? And we've only got about a minute. Can you stay over with us after you give us a short answer on this?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. Gerald Allen introduced this bill for the first time in 2011. He was very successful in paving the way for this bill before me and Shane ever got elected in 2018. He was able to be successful with it in the Senate on multiple occasions and send it down to the House, where it always died in committee.
Hmm. We've seen that many, many times. Andrew, I appreciate it if you could hang over with us. I want to talk to you a little bit more when we get back about this current session that you guys are in. So you could kind of think about that during the break, setting aside your bill, which was certainly a big win, especially for the Republican side of the aisle. I want you to talk a little bit about the other good things you think are coming out of this session and some things you think we're not going to get done that we should have gotten done. I'm Scott Buttram with Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Scott Buttram. I'm the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, and I'm filling in for Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio because I am a conservative. That's right. There's a few conservative newspaper publishers left. They haven't moved all of us to the museum yet, but we're dinosaurs and we're probably headed that way unless things change. We're joined by Representative Andrew Sorrell, being held honestly as one of the big winners, the big champions of the current legislative session. Representative Sorrell sponsored and shepherded through, which this was a full-time job, the constitutional carry bill, which was signed into law yesterday by Governor Kay Ivey. Long time coming. If you missed the last segment, I apologize because you missed an opportunity to hear Andrew go into a great deal detail on the process of getting the bill through. And we're now, unfortunately for you, we're moving on to something else. We want to talk to Representative Sorrell. We need to mention he is about to embark on a new challenge. He is running for state auditor. So he goes from a district, a House district ballot to a statewide ballot. That's a big step, a lot more work. I would not do it, but that's why we have people like him. Andrew, I asked you before we went to the break, to talk a little bit about this current session in the two areas. What do you think, setting your constitutional carry bill aside for a moment, what do you think are the big wins that will come out of this session? What do you think didn't happen in this session that should have happened and maybe have to be considered a little bit of a loss?
Well, I think some of the big wins for Alabama citizens this year is we're actually getting some tax relief for them. And that's something that we really haven't passed very many good tax relief bills my first three years in the legislature. So I'm really excited about the business privilege tax bill that we passed yesterday. So if you own a small business, the minimum that you can be charged for business privilege tax is $100 a year. Well, next year it's going to be $50, and the year after that it's going to be $0. So if you are a true small business owner, you are not even going to have to file a business privilege tax return in the future. I think that's wonderful. I think the name of business privilege tax, I think it's offensive. I don't think it's a privilege to operate a business in Alabama. I think it's your right as an Alabama citizen. You have the right to support your family. And I'm happy to see that we are making headway on getting rid of that tax, at least at the low levels. Representative Lynn Greer, got to give him a shout out for a great retirement bill. It's going to help our senior members of this state. It has to do with the differences between the way defined benefit and defined contribution plans are taxed in this state. And he's trying to make it equal where they're both not taxed, which I think is a wonderful thing. I was happy to support the bill. It's going to be a $26 million tax cut. Some of the things we are not going to get done this year, and these weigh heavy on me because they're really important issues. We're not going to get the grocery tax repealed. This is a bill I've carried for numerous years and others. Right. There's plenty of other people that carry this as well. But I have carried the grocery tax at least 3 years. And my bill, the plan was to phase the grocery tax out over a period of, I forget if it was 10 or 20 years or whatever it was, but begin chipping away at it in a way that would not gut the education budget, but a way that would be making some positive headway. Now, because of how fast the education trust fund budget has grown in the past couple of years, I think that timetable can be accelerated. Mm-hmm. I think we could get rid of the grocery tax in, let's say, 5 to 8 years, or even better, let's just eliminate it all at once. Secondly, school choice. You did not see a movement on the school choice bill outside of what Del Marsh was able to do in, I think, the Senate committee. I think it cleared committee and then stalled there.
Yeah.
So one more year, Alabama children and their parents are not going to have a choice about where they go. People are going to be trapped in failing schools. The money's not going to follow the child. And just the whole idea that this is government money is offensive to me. This is not government money. This is taxpayer money. We're not doing people a favor by letting the money follow their child. That's the way it should be. And of all the things we've tried to do to fix education in Alabama, which basically what we do is we give out pay raises and we spend more money and we build new buildings,
right,
and we start new programs. We've done all those things the last 10 years. That has not helped Alabama's children. Nope. And that's the stark reality. We have to accept that before we can understand how to really fix it. And if you look at what Florida's done with school choice, their education rankings are going through the roof. They are climbing the scorecard so fast. And it just pains me that we could do that in Alabama, but it's not going to happen this year. I just don't see it.
I think you're right. I'm a huge school choice proponent. And ironically, it would probably help Democrat-controlled areas of the state the most. And Andrew, we're coming up on our break. I will tell you, you heard me mention I was from Trustful, which means my good friend Danny Garrett will be on next. And unfortunately, you just stole his thunder. I'm sure he's sitting at home puking right now because you took away his privilege tax story. I agree with you. That was a great move and very pleased to see that happen. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on getting the constitutional carry bill passed, and best of luck to you on the auditor's race.
Thanks so much. I love Danny Garrett. He's a great conservative.
He really is. Thank you, Andrew.